On your radio dial at 100.3 FM and worldwide at TeamMyrtleBeach.com and the 100.3 The Team app. Welcome back to The Drive with Aaron Marks.
So I threw this question out earlier. It's kind of like the tree in the forest deal. If Mayweather has a fight and nobody watches it, is it actually a fight? Should it go down as his 49th win, Pat? Should we give it to him if nobody actually watched it?
No.
So he should still be 48 now? But that would then bring him back out of retirement.
It's okay.
So because the 49th win allegedly is going to put him into retirement. Didn't he retire like 5 years ago?
Oh, yeah. Okay. He needs more money, though, so he's going to come out anyway.
I gotcha. So we're getting reports on the Mayweather fight that did happen this past weekend. I've read nothing on this fight. Guess what? He won by unanimous decision. There was no knockdowns or anything like that. It was, I'm sure, a really boring fight. ESPN boxing reporter Dan Raphael reports that the fight might not have topped 550,000 pay-per-view buys. And how low of a number is that for the folks at Showtime? Well, the fight cost $75 to buy in HD, $65 in standard definition. Let's just say it hit 550,000, which we aren't even sure if it did. But let's just say it hit that number and that every one of those folks bought it in HD, which is probably didn't happen, but let's just say they did. That would equate to $41 million in revenue. Well, they paid Mayweather $32 million to fight. So you're starting to see where the problems come up. Berto got $4 million to fight, and that leaves roughly $5 million or so left over, and you've got your advertising, your promotional fees, your fees to get it on the network and everything like that. You've got to pay your broadcast team. You've got the pre-fight stuff that you produce. And when I say broadcast team, you got the cameraman, you got the producer, the director, the play-by-play guys, and everything like that. So very likely that Showtime actually lost money on this deal. Probably not something they're overly concerned about because they made so much stinking money off of Mayweather-Pacquiao. But it was interesting that high rollers, they identified some high rollers out there in Vegas and offered them free tickets. They didn't want them, so it wasn't a full arena. And closed circuit viewing parties were canceled as well. So what a mess of a way. I mean, do you really want to end your career that way? And that's the thing, is maybe that's what brings him out of retirement, but this is what's so wrong with this situation, that he chose this fight. He gets to choose his opponents, and he chooses an opponent that the network that aired it ends up losing money over the whole thing. It's not even a full arena for it. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. You know, nobody's talking about it. This is the only thing that we're talking about. There is no breakdown from the fight. There's nothing interesting from the fight to discuss. And that's unfortunate that that might be how the guy's career ends. So just wanted to give a quick thought on that.
I think also that he tied Rocky Marciano's,
yep,
49-0. Why would you want to tie? Why would you want to end on a tie? Why don't you just go for
another
win and
go 50? I thought about that. Why doesn't he want to go 50-0? So
just another reason.
He could line up another fight with some chump that nobody tunes in for to
Manny
set
Pacquiao.
The record. You know, he thought that because he was going for tying the record that everybody was going to want to watch. I mean, I'd like to get his thoughts on nobody watching this thing. And remember, these pay-per-view purchases include all the restaurants in America that would have tuned in for this and said, hey, we have the fight on tonight and people can come out and watch it. And I mean, so when you start to think about all the restaurants in every city in America that might have went ahead and paid for this thing, you get to that 550,000 number pretty quickly. I mean, it's really not a big number at all. So that's you'd think it would be disappointing, but maybe he just doesn't care at all. All right, let's talk a little bit more Gamecocks and Tigers. South Carolina, obviously getting ready for this game against Georgia. Spurrier with an impeccable record against the Bulldogs. He's got a record of 16-6 when playing against Mark Richt's Bulldogs. You know, I don't know if it's just coaching philosophies or what, but something about this matchup, he just seems to have the number of Georgia, and so that could make things pretty interesting this week. What also could make things interesting is if Perry Orth can go out and play similar to what he did in the second half last week.
We probably moved the ball with Perry in there the second half the best we have all year. We had a chance. Well, we had a chance. We had five possessions, had a chance to score five touchdowns, and we turned it into three field goals, one touchdown, and an interception on first down. So we had to quit getting penalties on the 1 yard line, and second and one, the lineman didn't quite make his block, and the guy ran through and threw us for a 2 yard loss on the 1 yard line. So those things were really crucial to hurt us. But hopefully we can correct those mistakes. And Perry played overall, I think, pretty well.
Audio from our friends at SportsTalkSC.com. You can watch these press conferences in their entirety by visiting SportsTalkSC.com. I've had some comments come in on Nunez. If Nunez starts, the Gamecocks have the best chance to win. I don't think that's the case, but we did see Nunez on an impressive run that didn't really matter late in the first half this past week. Does he see more meaningful time this week? Coach, comments on that.
Yeah, it all depends on how the game's going, of course. Lorenzo is a good player, and he's a good runner, good passer. And, I think we got to use him somewhere along the line. He played a little bit last week. We were moving the ball with Perry. We'll get both of them available and sort of see how the game goes.
So Spurrier talking a little bit about his quarterback situation, which will be key going into this week. Speaking of quarterbacks, Connor Mitch is out of the hospital, and so they will continue to monitor him over the next couple weeks and see if he can get back on the playing field at some point in the near future. Going to be really tough for the Gamecocks, though. Going to be really tough. This Georgia team, I get that throwing the ball is not their strong suit, but they've got one of the best running games in the country. Their defense is spectacular, and they've got a chip on their shoulder from last year. They felt like that was a game they gave away with a missed field goal and some opportunities to get that one, and this has been burning them up a little bit, getting them at home. Boy, that's a tall order for the Gamecocks, so we'll see how it all shakes out. 17 points, though, is the line on this game. You give me those points, and I'm likely to go with South Carolina. So we'll see where it stands on Friday when we make our predictions. All right, talking about Clemson, I think Clemson's got a tougher set of circumstances than people are thinking in this situation. Louisville, I believe, is the best 0-2 team. When we look through, we can talk about the best undefeated teams at this point, and the best 0-2 teams we often talk about, as to who's a team that could still make some noise. I think this Louisville team is one of them. Again, you start off basically on the road in Atlanta, right up the street from the Auburn campus, about an hour away, playing Auburn. You lay an egg in the first half, and you still have a chance to possibly tie the game late in the game. So they played decent there. Of course, we don't know how good Auburn is this year. They've been suspect the first two games of the season. Then Louisville gets caught looking ahead to Clemson in a game against Houston that I don't think they took as seriously as they needed to. So how good is Louisville? We have no idea, and we're really going to find out. It's a Thursday night home game. The place is going to be amped up. Don't tell their fans they're 0-2. They know that this game is one that can completely turn the season around and can set them on a path to possibly an ACC championship. You knock off one of the favorites in the conference, and you're going to be sitting pretty with a couple more opportunities to solidify that. So a huge game for Louisville. Coach Dabo Swinney, he talks about Louisville and speaks on their expectations for their season and where they stand right now.
Louisville's a good team. They really are. I know that, everybody, they're 0-2 right now. I wouldn't look too much into that. This is a good football team that I have no doubt will be, in a bowl at the end of the year and has the same chance that we have to compete and win this division. So this is, regardless of whether they were 2-0 or these first two tough games that they had didn't go their way, this is a great matchup and going to be a electric atmosphere up there in Louisville.
One of the things that Dabo Swinney commented on, and I didn't realize this, one of the biggest threats that Louisville poses is that their wide receiving core. In a word, they're big.
The big thing about their receivers is they're huge. I mean, they're 6'6", 6'4", 6'3", across the board. So there'll be a lot of competitive plays that are going to have to be made by somebody, either our DBs or their wideouts. These guys will challenge us by far more than anybody that we've seen.
So Dabo Swinney commenting a little bit on the matchup with Louisville. Again, the audio coming from sportstalksc.com. One more thought on Louisville, and then we'll get to the week, kind of a crazy week for Clemson. Talking about their defense, comparing the Louisville defense to Clemson's D.
Defensively, this group here is really good. You know, it's kind of like us. I mean, they lost some good players on defense, but they got a bunch of new ones in there that can play. A bunch of guys that are going to be really good players. They've had several guys transfer in there that were really good players at other places, and for whatever reason, they're not at those places anymore. And now they're at Louisville, and they're good players there.
So a team that's got a lot of weapons, a team that's got a lot of abilities, a team that you can't look at seeing them as 0-2 and thinking that this is going to be something that Clemson just walks right in and takes it. Plus the fact, you got to think about this, Louisville was at home this past week, as was Clemson, but Louisville gets to stay home and wait on a Thursday night game. Clemson has got to turn around after a game against Appalachian State that I know they dominated, but trust me when I say that was not an easy win for Clemson. They struggled early on, and they got some very fortunate plays in the second quarter to create some separation with the Mountaineers. But basically, this turns what would be normally a six-day week starting on Sunday and preparing into essentially 2.5 days.
This is a crazy week. You know, everything's just kind of out of whack. I'm thankful that I've not had to do this many times since I've been the head coach. I guess every few years or so, it's kind of our turn to have a short week like this to try to cram, you know, 6 days worth of work in about 2.5. But that's just the way it is for both teams. And but we're excited about it, looking forward to it. You know, we love to play. And it's kind of fun and neat not have to wait till Saturday to play.
It's not really that way for Louisville, though, because they don't have to travel. You know, you figure these teams like for their squads to stay in a hotel the night before. They're in a routine, usually, of things that happen at the hotel. Most of these teams stay in a hotel, actually, even on home games. And so you've got Clemson traveling up today. So they've got to worry about travel today. Which will probably be late. They'll probably travel up tonight to get up there and then get to the hotel and go through some meetings and go through their routine tomorrow. But they started preparation on Sunday, and here we are on Wednesday. So it's a little bit tougher set of circumstances for them than it is for Louisville, slightly. But they did both play. You know, we've seen situations where sometimes the home team has a bye week the week before. That's not the case here. But of the two, I think Louisville's got a much better shot at winning than South Carolina does this weekend. That's our poll question that we've thrown out to you on Twitter. Which is more likely to happen? Which upset, South Carolina taking down Georgia or Louisville taking down Clemson? And for all the reasons we've listed here, for all the reasons that Dabo has talked about, the fact it's a road game, the fact it's a short week, you know, a lot of that kind of likens itself to a home team upset. It'll be really interesting to see how the first quarter goes tomorrow night, because Clemson has not, at least this past week, did not get off to a very fast start. You do that against a Louisville, they're going to make you pay for it more so than an Appalachian State will. So, a couple interesting matchups coming up for the Gamecocks and the Tigers this weekend. An interesting one for the Chanticleers against Western Illinois. We will speak with Coach Joe Moglia later on today and then have some of that audio for you tomorrow morning. All right, let's take a quick time out. When we come back, something went down in Cleveland last night that only would happen in Cleveland, I feel like. We'll tell you what that is, and we'll also talk about the most overrated teams in the top 25 coming up next. But first, let's get to the information you need to know. We begin with your National Sports Report.